to be sharing with you guys, because tech is the part of ministry where I geek out about, right? Like, I feel like all in our lives we have that one or two things, like sourdough. Any sourdough people out there? Yeah, okay, I'm looking over here, right? Like, so a lot of us all have that one thing that we just kind of gravitate towards that's fun, and people will call it work or confusing. So I love ministry. My wife and I, we co-lead our church, and I love ministry, but sometimes I just need to go to YouTube and learn something about lights or learn something, and then implement it on the cheap. So I'm grateful for Pastor Mark Dean and the health church team, and Jessica Beeman, who's actually James's mom, who's the communications director for the district, for allowing me to come and share with you guys. So before we get started, I just want to get kind of a feel for the room. Who is on staff pastorally, or like whether you're paid or not? Okay, a couple of you. Okay. Who is on staff as like support? Maybe you're in production or something like that. Okay. Who volunteers on a Sunday morning? Okay. Who is just here to learn something new? Perfect. All right. Great. Love it. Okay. So, and let me just say, I love tech ministry volunteers. Because when we serve in the tech booth, whether it's sound, whether it's visuals, or somewhere else in our church, maybe you help work website and stuff like that, it is a ministry. It is not a task. A lot of people look at the tech booth and be like, oh, that's where you go and you just push spacebar a bunch of times. Or no one knows that you volunteer there until something goes wrong and they all go like this. Right? Right? But it is a true ministry, because what you are doing is you are ushering in the presence of God. Just like the worship leader is up on stage, it's your job to help people encounter the Holy Spirit so that they know what songs are being sung, they know the condition of the heart. Even like the stupid videos that pastors will show, right? Like the kid falling off the water slide or whatever, right? It's all helping people encounter the Holy Spirit in tune with what your pastor and worship pastor are trying to do in your church. Well, just a little bit about me. Here's some pictures of me. I've been in ministry for almost 20 years, which is really terrible to say because I'm not that old. But for me, I went to North Central University. I have a degree in youth ministry there. I spent about 12 years in youth ministry. I grew up in Lake City, Minnesota. Anybody know where that is? Yeah, no, it's a small town in southeast Minnesota. Yeah, okay. Lived in Rochester for a few years. Pastor Jim Philbeck, who's currently our district treasurer, is married, my wife and I. Been married, it'll be 19 years this summer. Got a degree from North Central and began my youth ministry career. Spent about 12 years in three different churches around the Twin Cities, and really just got a heart for being creative, right? There's that pressure sometimes to be creative, but sometimes God has equipped you to be creative in your own right, and I just had fun doing it. God called us then to South Dakota. How that started, it's kind of a funny story. My wife and I were serving in the northern suburbs as youth pastors, and we felt a tug for a transition in our life. And so I did what any good Christian would do. It's like, I'm not going to look for a new job, but I will post my resume and let people contact me. So I posted on North Central's Career Wire at the time. It's kind of like monster.com, but for North Central grads, and it has a bunch of recommendation posts, and this job pops up, and I laugh out loud, and my wife is behind me, and she says, what are you laughing at? And I flip my laptop around, because there was a job posting for Brandon Valley Assembly of God in Brandon, South Dakota. And I said, wouldn't that be funny to be Pastor Brandon at Brandon Valley at Brandon, South Dakota? We moved 6 weeks later and became there. After about 6 months of serving in that great church, my pastor and the superintendent of South Dakota asked us to plant a church. And we said, no way are you trying to fire us. And so, but eventually the Holy Spirit led us to plant a few months later. And so in March of 2018, That church just turned 8 years old. We planted in a community called Del Rapids, South Dakota. It had a great church. We were doing fantastic. We were just about to celebrate 5 years of actual ministry. Had a part-time staff member. And then the Lord at Family Camp, Minnesota, said, hey, the time at your church plant is done. I'm going to call you back to Minnesota. And so we now pastor in Purim. Anyone know where Purim is? Who likes Wiley Wallaby licorice? Made across the street from our church. Sweet Chaos popcorn. It's amazing. Like, Mondays smells like original red licorice. Typically Tuesday or Wednesday smells like chocolate covered popcorn. And then some days it's sour. Sometimes it's dog food because it's the same company, Tuffy's or Nutrisource, same company. So, but we're just so happy to be back in Minnesota. We belong to a fantastic district that wants to empower you guys as pastors, as leaders, as volunteers in your church to proclaim the gospel in the context that he has called you to. You see, when I first started in youth group 20 years ago, I just started attending, and I served in the tech booth because no one else wanted to push buttons. And so I was a volunteer leader, and I would geek out in there. And I just remember different things like the lights. Like, I got up every week and changed the paper or the gels on the lights. And I got up on the sketchiest 30-foot wooden A-frame. Got up there, and it just shakes the whole time. And, like, it's totally worth it. I want blue on the stage today. And so, and then you'd, like, adjust the lights on the light box that no one really actually knows how to use, right? The little dimmers and stuff like that. But I just started running sound, and I had no idea what I was doing until the day we had to gut the system and I had to put it back together. And then I just wanted to serve some more, and I began doing it in big church, and I'd learn from different programs, different softwares, and I started to learn lights and all of these different things. And I just remember 20 years ago not knowing exactly what was going on. You would use DVDs to get motion backgrounds and all of these things now, and now it's so vital for us to know how to utilize technology in our churches to bring people closer to the gospel. You see, I remember just being in churches, and I'm like, if we just did it this way, it wouldn't be distracting. If we just did it this way, I feel like we don't want to dim down the message that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, but there's something about having something on Facebook that doesn't look great or is distracting. We're going to talk a little bit about that. And I'm like, if we just did this, and I just got this passion. And then between being in youth ministry, which they don't give you a tech budget, and then being in a church plant where you hope 5 people show up that week, and now being in a more church revitalization type of thing where money is tight and we have to spend on ministry and not technology, I've got this passion of, like, we can do this. And my heart is for us to have healthy churches. Since moving back to Minnesota, and someone said it in one of the main sessions today, but a healthy leader or healthy pastor leads a healthy church, and a healthy church transforms a community. So may we always be healthy in what we are doing. And I've worked in churches that have run over 5,000 people. I have seen those things. I have also been 300 and all those things. And what I've learned is, since God created my wife and I to be creative, we love color, we love using illustrations, physical illustrations, we need to figure out how to take that creativity and the gifts that God has placed in us to use it for the gospel. So that's why you see stupid pictures of us up here. Okay. This last Christmas, I did dress up as Buddy the Elf, went around the Fargo Mall and interviewed people on the Code of the Elves, and used that for an entire month. And it's amazing how many things that you can do creatively in order to stir conversations with people. Yeah.
Did you find your dad, Buddy?
No. So thanks, Mr. Norwal. Okay. Using Easter photo booths that my wife and I run. That's a picture on the far right from us doing youth ministry in Color Wars. 150 students throwing color. And then to make it fun, like, hey, whatever color is most on me, that team gets the most points. And then that's our church in the middle there at Northwoods Life Church. But here's what I want you to realize. Is I don't know your context. I don't know how many people attend your church. I don't know how much money you have. You're probably here because you don't have tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars to spend on technology. So what do you need to do? You need to be who you are. When you are thinking through your technology in your church, be who God has called you to be. Be who He has created you to be in this moment. I added a couple slides. So I'll give you a little bit of insight. When we think technology, we think of this. This is upstairs. I took this picture this morning. This is just the visual part of Cedar Valley's tech booth. Okay? I am on the station on the bottom left side. I am running three pro presenters. Okay? When we think of technology, we think that's the goal. Like, that's what we want to do. Everything's perfect. We're going to have like five people running cameras, and we're going to have a team of 10 or 15 every week, and it's going to be amazing. But what I find more often in churches, especially in the rural part, especially in church plants, is our tech booth looks like this. It's a guy on a computer with the soundboard close by that he moves if something's too loud. Right? We should not go for the major production. We should simply do what is necessary to proclaim the gospel in our context. See, church technology should assist us in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ and help people feel comfortable and lead people into the presence of the Holy Spirit. And so we do that in so many different ways. But we as leaders in our churches, may we never be concerned with putting on a show. May we never be concerned with looking cool. May we never be concerned with keeping up with such and such church. Well, our youth ministry would be so big if we just had four fog machines and lasers, right? Someone came up to me not too long ago after we started in Purim, and she was kind of getting upset because I like to do stage designs. That's one of my passions. Like, Christmas season is one of my favorites, and we do different things on the stage. And she's like, why are we doing all of this stuff? Why are we spending $75? Okay. Why are we spending $75 on all this stuff? We don't need lasers. We don't need smoke machines. And I said, correct, we don't need lasers or smoke machines. But we do need to help people celebrate the Christmas season in fun and creative ways. And I said, in fact, your church that you've been attending for a long time has two smoke machines in the back that I have not pulled out. I really wanted to, but I didn't, right? We need to be in our own context. And so we're going to get into some really practical stuff, but here's just one thing. If your technology points to you and your money rather than the King, then no money invested in it will be beneficial for your church. Every dollar that we spend should be with the goal of helping people encounter Jesus. A little side note, what you're going to see, every picture that you kind of see on there is just examples that we have done for stage design and things like that. Most of these stage designs have cost under $150. Okay? So I want to give you a tale of two churches. Me and one of my good friends planted churches at about the same time. Me being the creative one, like, I spent good money on technology. I'm passionate about worship. So we got the in-ears. We got 60-inch TVs to do our visuals and stuff like that. And people came to Christ, and it was great. And we used LED strips and all of these things, and it was fantastic. And in our context, when we left our church plant, we were running about 50 people after about 4.5 years, okay? Which is fine. That's a successful church plant. That's actually, we were about average for the Assemblies of God churches nationwide, okay? So it's successful church plant. My friend, who planted in Fulda, Minnesota, okay, a city of about, do you know, Victoria, how much, like 2,000 people maybe, like church plant, planted 3 days later, is now running over 300 people. You know what their technology is? It's that fender system that we've seen where it come in with a case and you break the speakers off and you put them up and there's two microphones on it. And their live stream is a cell phone on a stand. And every Sunday I go, oh, how's it going over at John's church? And every Sunday I start the live stream and it's him doing this. And then walk and then going to do it, right? Simplicity is okay. Jesus is what matters. So today my goal is to give you some creativity, give you some insight. I'm not an expert. I've never worked for one of these major technology companies. If you were to start rattling off models of this, that, and the other thing, I'm like, cool, go talk to someone who knows about it, right? I want to give you insight. I want to give you creativity into how you can utilize technology in your context, in your church. So I want to say a couple more things. I forgot about this. We are stewards of God's resources. God has entrusted you with a budget, even if that budget is $10, to do something with it, to multiply and grow the kingdom. And so I want you to think about this, okay? When we talk about tithes and offerings, okay? When we talk about the tithe, what percentage of a person's income is a tithe? 10%, okay? So that means that for someone to donate $1 to your church, they have to make how much? For you to spend $100 in your church, how much does someone need to theoretically make? $1,000. For you to drop $1,000, how much does someone in your church theoretically need to make? Think about that. Someone sacrificed for your ability to spend money. I'm not against spending money. I am against wasting God's money. So when we spend a dollar every day, every stupid Amazon order I do, God, thank you for the people who have worked hours and hours for me to purchase this. And may you bless them in that. So my goal, we're going to walk through about five or six different technology things in our churches. Feel free to ask questions at any time. If we don't, and I'm going to try and leave a little bit of time at the end to say, hey, I have a question about this. So even if we don't address maybe something you were coming in to hope to talk about, I've done everything from voice over IP phone systems in our churches, everything in the sanctuary I've touched, lighting on the outside of the church, like small church, I've touched it, okay? So if you have a question about a thing when we get to the end or as we go along, I want to answer your questions in that. So, all right, so if you're ready, let's say, let's go. All right, so first thing we're going to talk about today, we're going to talk about the dreaded website. Yeah. Okay. Let me back up. I'm going to ask you one question. And now I think I've given away the answer already. When a person is looking at attending a new church, what is your first point of contact? Mm-hmm. It's your website or your Facebook page. It used to be, right? Oh, when they come out of the parking lot, that's our first touch. That's our first touch. Or when they come into the door, that's our first touch. Or when they drive by the church and they see our stupid church sign with that stupid joke on it, right? You're right now in our current culture, your first touch, you have minimal control over because they are going to your website. They are going to your Facebook page. They are going to your Apple Maps or your Google Maps spot. So we need to have the information available that communicates who we are, where we are, and when we are. So I'm going to show you a couple websites. I'm going to show you two good ones. I'm going to show you two poor ones. Don't worry, none of your churches are on here, unless you're from out of state. But I want you, we're going to look at a couple different websites here, and we're going to talk about what is wrong with them. Okay? So here's our first one. So there's a couple different things, and I know it's a quick scan. A couple of the things that have been pointed out to me, that green and purple graphic in the front, not it's 2026, right? Like, we can do better than that. This website also, it has an opportunity for you to give. It doesn't tell you when service is. Think about that. You go to a church website, someone's investigating youragchurch.com, and like, I want to go to church. When are services? And they can't find it on your website. You would be surprised how many churches do not make their service times easily accessible on their website. You got to make it available. Here's the next one. This is in southern Missouri, just so you know. So if we look at this website, it's got a few good things. I'm gonna play it again. But if you're in southern Missouri, do you want that as your first picture? We got a snowstorm in 2001. We look at that, right? We should make our church look attractional, not just here's the building when you drive past it. When we talk about websites, there are a few things that I want us to be aware of. So here's an example of a good one. Maybe. So you see the vision, services right there, Wednesday night activities, what they're about, want to know them. There's pictures of their people. Don't put weird people on your website. Put people on your website that are enjoying life, that are serving, and that look like the people that you're trying to attract in your context. We have a church right now that just launched in Minneapolis, and their entire goal is to reach young people. Their target audience is 18 to 25. And they are running, do you remember? It's like 1,000 or more. About a month ago, they baptized over 80 people, and the church plant is less than a year old. You probably will not find someone on their website over the age of 70 because they know their target audience. They know who God is calling them to. This, they're trying to find people to serve, to have fun with each other. I'm going to give you another website here. This is one where the idea of the website is great, but it's not executed as well as maybe we would be looking for. Okay? So, Welcome Freedom Church, it's great. There's service times, all of that stuff. They do Bible engagement. They've got Tulip Project for Easter coming up, and they've got all of their contact information. What did you guys notice about that website? No people. There's no people. What else? It's busy. It's messy, right? Like, we do Bible engagement, but they put a thin text over a water graphic. Hard to read. Okay? So as we talk about these things, we need to find ways to have a good first impression. So, how do we do that? Some easy ways to have a good website. Not a great website. We're just looking for good at this point, right? To get the mission done. First thing, keep it simple. One page is all you need to have a good website. I didn't even go into the pages on those websites. One page, who we are, what do our people look like, what are the times to come to church, and maybe links to socials. Okay? What else do we need? Make the important things easy to find. Service times. Location. Again, if you don't tell people how to get to your church, they're never going to come. Okay? Or giving. For us, when we started in Purim, our giving was 90% in person. People still write checks in my church. Since launching a giving platform that is easier to use and people can set up monthly giving, let me just say this about that. You have people in your churches that get paid the same every week, every 2 weeks, every month, and they would rather just set up an automatic bill payment because they know exactly how much they're going to get. It's the easiest way for people to tithe. It Talk about it in your churches. Online giving. Say, hey, every month I'm just going to set it up and it's going to give $400 because I get paid once a month. Okay? Since then, our online giving has gone to 60% of our total giving. Because we've made it easy. We provide QR codes. We put them on the offering envelopes. So when people come in like, oh, I don't have any cash. Oh, on the offering envelope, scan the QR code before we even get to the offering part. Okay? Next couple things. Keep secondary items secondary. If you are in a small church, it's probably okay for you to put your pastor on the front page. That's fine as a welcome or things like that. But like, if you've got staff and deacons that you want to put on your website, keep it secondary. Keep the first thing the first thing. For your events, don't be so worried about events, okay? As soon as you put an event on your website, you have the pressure to go and fix it when the event is over. I hate putting my events on my website. I take the time to do it, but as soon as I update information on my website, it's out of date, and it drives me nuts, okay? Last thing on there, the less information, use good quality graphics of your people and your city. The less information on there, the less that needs to be updated. And so I want to give you just a couple ideas here of ideas for websites. Does anyone's church not have a website? You? Okay. Do you have a Facebook page?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. I would maybe recommend to try to do a website. Here, if you are thinking, I need to find a cheaper way to host a website or do it, here's a couple options for you. TechSoup.org. I'm going to talk about TechSoup in a little bit. It's a nonprofit website where people donate, large companies donate services and software and things like that to nonprofits. And it's a 501c3. If you type in your tax-exempt number, you get access to all of this. I'm going to talk about more of that later. They will build a website for you for $600. That is so much cheaper than what I paid, and I'm cheap. Okay? If you've never built a website before, it takes forever. And if you've never done it before, $600 is a good investment. Okay? Wix.com has a promo through TechSoup right now, $34 for a website for 2 years. And then Squarespace is what we use. It's $280 a year. That is a little more, but we sell merch. We want to have that store capability. When we redesigned our graphics and stuff like that for our church, they built it on Squarespace, and so we just bit the bullet at that point. So, if you are on Facebook, which you probably should be, Facebook Meta Business app. If you set your church up as a business on Facebook, you get a whole separate app available for posting, for all these things. You can schedule posts, okay, which is my favorite thing. I try on Monday mornings to set up my post for the week because then I don't have to think about it again, okay? And you can use people in your church to use it to management. And when you're on Facebook, again, use pictures of your people. Don't just post Bible verses. And know that it's okay that your Facebook post can ebb and flow because we do what we can with the resources and the time that we have. Us, we haven't posted in a week and a half, okay? Because we've been in Bloomington for the last week and doing other stuff. So, okay. Questions on websites, Facebook, anything? Okay, we'll keep rolling. Emails. Oh, email. If you can, this is going to be short. If you can, and if you can afford it, create an email that has the same domain as your website. A lot of people have used pastorbrandon@gmail.com or pastorbrandon45678x5 like thing. So if you can, use your custom domain as your email. And you can even just make it generic, okay? You could just have it pastor@northwoodslife.com or office@myfavoritechurch.com, okay? For us, what my wife and I do, we have Brandon@northwoodslife.com. We have Marlena@northwoodslife.com. But we actually have a third one just office@northwoodslife.com that we both have access to. That's the one that we give to like mailing lists, missionaries, to Chamber of Commerce, all of those things that are community involvement that we probably both should be aware of. And we check it. And then one day when we hire an admin, they will be in charge of that. So Google, Gmail, if you have a Wix or a Squarespace website, you can actually activate it straight through there. Otherwise, you can go straight to Gmail. You do have to create a Gmail business account in order to do it, and that's $7 a month per email. So questions on email? Easy peasy. Okay, here's some other technology that I wanted to just let you guys know. TechSoup.com, I kind of mentioned already. It's a great, great resource, especially if you are looking into hardware. Cisco is a huge donator to that. Wireless routers, computers are on there, refurbished Macs. But software is where I like to live on there. So like for instance, Box.com. Okay, who uses Dropbox? Anybody? Anyone use Box? Does anyone not know what those things are? Okay, it's the cloud-based system. Box.com, through TechSoup, will give you 100 gigabytes of cloud storage for free. And so what I do is we do all of our graphic work and all of our videos. We upload it to Box from my laptop, and then we log in on our ProPresenter computer, and we just have to pull it off from there. And what's kind of nice is if the document's not being used on that computer, it actually puts it back on the cloud. You still have access to it, but it doesn't take up, like, it takes up 2 kilobytes instead of 2 gigs worth of stuff, okay? Canva, who's on Canva? Is everyone on free Canva? Or I should say, who's on Pro? Who's on Pro Canva, okay? If you are not on Photoshop or anything, like, Canva's your best option. Type in your non-profit stuff into Canva. You get the pro version for free. So amazing. The world has been investing into the non-profit world the last 5 years. And my favorite thing on here is resizing graphics, right? So, so good. And then last thing is Microsoft Office. Through this, they just changed the program. I don't have pricing on it. I want to say it's like $3 a month right now. I get the entire Microsoft Office Business Suite on my computer. That means it's not Microsoft Office 365. I think Microsoft 365 is free. Okay, you get the whole suite. I like, this is where I'm showing my age, I like having Word on my computer, right? Amen, right? Like, I like having things. I don't use PowerPoint, but it's a benefactor for someone who deals with graphics and stuff to have PowerPoint on my computer, okay? You can get it for free or super cheap via TechSoup.com. It takes about 4 days once you register to go through the verification process.
Can you get free now?
Microsoft 365. So it's a web.
Through Soup?
So you set up a TechSoup account, because TechSoup is basically a verification platform, is all that it is, that these major Fortune 500 companies use as their verifying. And then within there, you'll see a catalog, and Microsoft is one of those, and they'll have all the different plans on there.
So is there a fee for TechSoup?
No, it's completely free. You pay TechSoup for the licensing that you want to buy. So sometimes you may have to spend $20 to get the discount on this website type of deal. And it's more admin fees to like open up that portal to be able to work in that space.
For like Office and stuff, is that a license per church or is it per computer?
It's all different kinds of plans.
Okay.
So for us, we do like one for every employee. And so, but I know I'm signed into a bunch of different devices because it also comes with OneDrive and stuff like that. So it depends how you'd want to set it up. You probably could get away with just getting one, and depending on how you want to use it. So, cool. Okay. All right. Now we're going to get into some of what I think is the more fun stuff. So, live streaming. who hates live streaming in their church? Okay. I want to, when we were in our church plant, we didn't live stream because I didn't want to put a bad live stream out there. My friend did the phone thing. I was not going to do the phone thing. I have my pride got in the way, let's be honest. But I feel like live streaming is part of our church culture right now. And so here's some tips on live streaming. First one is this: people will tolerate bad visuals, but they will not tolerate bad audio. Ever done that? Been watching a YouTube video and it buffers and the picture gets done, but at least you can hear what's going on. Unless you're watching Dude Perfect, then you have to watch what's going on, right? Think about that when you're live streaming. I know in some of our contexts, internet is an issue. You're in a school, you're in the middle of the woods, or you have that internet company that's just not reliable. Work on having good audio and you'll be okay. So, I like audiobooks. Any audiobook people out there? Like, I'm trying to get back into reading some old school, like, Christian pastoral books, but they were produced, 1999. They're so bad. Like, the content is great. I've read some of these. I'm like, I want to listen to this one while I mow the lawn or blow the snow. But the audio is so bad. I last about 2 minutes. I might return that book right now. But if we have good audio and the gospel is being proclaimed audibly, people will listen. So next one, you don't have to stream at 1080p. Okay? You don't have to. I just upgraded 1080p because our internet went fiber finally. 360p or 720p look great on a phone, tablet, or even a TV. Okay? Most people will stream at 720. That's perfectly fine. It looks great. But the majority of people who are watching and live streaming your service are doing it on their phone, are doing it on their iPad. Don't worry about that. Okay? Just do what you can. Don't overwork your internet system. Okay? Your phone can work great, but you do need a microphone for it. At the end, I have a resource sheet that has a bunch of QR codes and links and stuff that I've used over the years. But this is one that I've been really, really happy with. This is a wireless mic system. It's a lapel mic. And there's actually two mics in here because it's stereo. But this little lapel mic can put a strap on there. And then this piece is a dongle to your phone. And so if you are live streaming on a phone, or you're at the church picnic or whatever it might be and you want to live stream off a phone, you can get one of these and it's fantastic. I get fantastic audio quality out of it. I've gotten 3 hours of battery life on this little thing. What's also kind of cool about this, it's made by Hollyland. It's a newer company, but it also has attachments to if you do film with a DSLR or something like that, you can attach this to your camera. And do it there. And so I have this in my bag at all times. If I go out on a snowy morning, I did this a few weeks ago because Easter was terrible and we got 20 inches of snow the day before Easter. And so I did the whole pastoral thing. Hey, we have warm coffee. We've got donuts, you know. I just have to throw that mic on and I can still shoot it selfie video wise. And the audio quality is so much better than being outside in the elements. There are two microphones in here, and they sell different packs and stuff like that. And what I do love, and there's an app that goes with it too, so you can adjust all of that stuff. But it's fantastic. $100, right? If you want to wait till Black Friday, I got it for $75. So
constantly on sale on Amazon.
Yeah,
and they keep getting better.
Mm-hmm. I'm working on that. If you are in a context where you have a lot of space in your tech booth where it's like visuals are over here, camera, and you've been thinking about headsets or something like that. I did walkie talkies 10 years ago. they have a system for that. It's like $500. You get 7 headsets or something like that. And it works really well. So, and then the last thing is, for a more professional look, use software and controlled cameras. We're going to talk about that. Right now, what I want to do is I want to give you an example of how we do our live streaming. Most of this technology that I'll show you or how it works, I inherited. I've just figured out how to use it, right? Sometimes we're in churches like that where someone bought something 5 years ago and then we show up and it hasn't been used in 4 years and no one knows how to use it. So I want to show you kind of how our live stream setup is. So what we currently use. So I have a DSLR connected to HDMI. This is called an A10 Mini Pro. It's a video switcher. And so I have an HDMI coming from a camera, and I have a PTZ camera, which means it can be controlled through the Ethernet, through the network, through this. And I can connect, you can connect unlimited. A lot of these controllers you can do unlimited. But I have those feeding into there. I also have our soundboard kick into that video switcher, okay? We have a dedicated line on our soundboard that I just mix and I kind of set it, forget it, watch the live stream later in the week and tweak it throughout the week because I don't have volunteers that are trained well enough to mix both in-house and live stream at the same time. Okay. And then from out of that video switcher, I go into our Mac computer, which is running ProPresenter. And ProPresenter 7, if you have the newest version of ProPresenter, has a streaming output built right in. So I'm able to do lower thirds. I'm able to do all the fancy stuff that we're kind of seeing here basically for free because I have ProPresenter. Okay. Another option that you can have, this is one that we did for a long time until we were doing a little much. Instead of doing, we use Restream. So instead of kicking it out through ProPresenter, you can actually kick it out straight through the switcher. Okay. So if you're not using ProPresenter, you can actually just hit live and it'll go to wherever you host your live stream. So I don't want to get too much in the weeds with live streaming. And this, I realize I'm flying at 30,000 foot right now, but that, yeah.
From the soundboard to yeah. The ATM Mini, mm-hmm. What are you connecting into that? Is it like XLR to
yeah.
something, or what is
that,
your main?
So well? we currently just do XLR. So we have a dedicated bus mix that we do. So it's just XLR to headphone. And it's just microphone 1, microphone 2. And so, and then when you connect this to a computer, it has software to show you levels and things like that too.
So the mix from the soundboard is what, in-house mix?
Yep.
And it just goes out to the stream?
Yep. Okay. So I don't kick anything straight from my computer into the ATEM. I make it loop from here into the soundboard and then into here. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Even right now, when I switched it to this system, when we were kicking it out of ProPresenter, it was a hot mess. So I just switched it. I switched the audio back to the old system. So nothing is going from straight, no audio is going from here to here. It's making the loop all the way around. So A10 Mini Pro is 238, I think. It'll be on the resource sheet that I have at the end. This setup, if I were to buy this new, not including the soundboard or the computer, let's say you just wanted like one camera and one video switcher or whatever, you're probably looking at about a $700 purchase, depending on what kind of camera you get. There are cheaper cameras out there, but we'll kind of get there in a second. I'm trying to, how much time do I have left? And we go until 2:15. Okay, we're going to fly. Okay, got it. All right, sound, okay? Here's some tips on sound. Training is the key. Digital is not the answer, okay? A lot of people think having a digital board will fix all of your audio issues. That's not true. The value of training your sound people is much higher than spending money on a digital board. Now, if you have to buy a new board, I would recommend going digital, unless you're going Facebook or you're another church or whatever. But training is really where it goes. Anyone have an X32 in their church? It was the soundboard for a very long time. Okay. So the Behringer X32, anyone have a Midas M32 in their board? Okay, so I want to explain. These are considered the two budget soundboards as far as digital goes out there, okay? So if you are trying to decide on a new soundboard, what I would do is I would actually recommend the M32. Opinion time. Do not buy a Behringer X32 anymore. Since overloading their system 10 years ago, their customer service has tanked. Their quality has tanked. It gets the job done, but if you have any issues, you're done. Midas M32, $500 more. Great customer service. Almost the same parts, except for the parts that have been breaking on the X32. Okay, so you still have in-ear capability that's built in. You still have all these things. And if you have to send in your board, a lot of times they will send you a board first, and then you will send your board in to get fixed. Okay, Behringer, I've heard horror stories where we sent our board in, we didn't get it back for 9 months. No one wants that in our churches. Okay. a lot of people want to go wireless mics. We're on a budget. There's nothing wrong with a corded mic. Okay. Stage designs. This is where my fun part comes out. Okay. I'll give you a couple examples of my stage designs that we've come up with over the years. These are hexagons in our church plant. Those were a pain. Don't do those. Bending LEDs into a 63-degree angle or whatever it is. It's terrible. Okay. But they looked really cool. We had to replace a bunch of them in the process. Couple other things. This is taking string art to the next level. This is a basically a shadow box that we built in our church. Plywood, and then 1x2s all around the outside. On those 1x2s, we put LED strips on the inside angle of them, so they shone inwards. And then we took thousands of screws every half inch to an inch around the box, and then did string art from when we were like in first or second grade. For this design, what we did is we put a projector on the floor, projected what child is this. We did this for Christmas. Took another couple thousand screws, screwed the outline of the words, and then just went to town. We went through over 2,000 yards of yarn in this. Guess how long that was for? 45 days. you'll see another one up here. What we did after the Christmas season is we did the exact same thing, except we took down the What Child Is This, bought another $12 worth of yarn, and made a cross out of it, and kept that through the next fall. Okay. There's the cross right there. So that's what we ended up doing there. This is just the foam board. Okay. And we outlined the cross with string, and then kind of just our theme for Easter was broken, and so, or shattered or something like that. And so this is just foam board, and we just cut it in triangles and kind of just did put it up there and stuff like that. This is one Christmas design that we did, kind of made a little manger scene with there.
The trees made out of 2x4s?
Yep, the front trees are made out of 2x4s. Those were super expensive, super heavy. It's fine. I've done other stuff. We had team and money when we were doing this one, so I actually didn't have to build those trees. It was fantastic. I had two retired guys come in for 3 days cutting and drilling boards, because it's a board with a steel pole in the middle, so they cut all the boards to sizes and then put them on top with spacers in between. So yeah. This is actually one of my favorite ones. Super simple to do. Made a frame out of 1x2s, and then bought wreaths from Home Depot. There, I think what is it, 12 up there? I bought 2 packs of 6. I think they were like $40 for a pack of 6 of wreaths. Bought ribbon, made bows, and just hung that. And then you light it up real cool, and I think there's pictures later of that, and then surround it. Like, just fun stuff like that, okay? Use stage designs to help bring energy into your church if you can. Maybe you're not like me and you do like to wear gray and black all the time. Like, I'm wearing color today. Like, this is my personality, right? Here's a website for you if you want to get some ideas of what to do with your stage. Church Stage Design Ideas.com. Okay. A lot of the ones that are on there are big mega churches, but what I do is I see an idea and I say, I could do that, but this way. Okay. I could do that, but this way. Talking about lighting a little bit. Here's our lighting setup. We use a program called LightKey. Does anyone use LightKey in their churches? Okay. It's free up to so many DMX channels. Lighting, it took me a long time to understand lighting, okay? This is a basic thing how lighting works. So we have on our same computer that we're running ProPresenter, we have LightKey, which has LED strips and all of that, runs into a converter, which then splits out, and that's how we run all of our different kinds of lights, okay? I'm not gonna get into the weeds on this a whole lot. On your resource page, I actually have links to all of the things that you need in order to set up LED strips in your churches, okay? LED strips are your friend when it comes to lighting, okay? One fixture, like this, these lighting bars that you see on the right-hand side, those on the cheap end are $120 a pop. You know how much 16 feet of LED strip is? On Black Friday, it's about $1 a foot, okay? I always have LED strips in my church ready to go. And that's how it like created like those things. Those are 1x2s that I just put in the wall and run the strings off of there. presentation software, okay? Anyone who uses TVs in their churches, okay? Who uses projectors, overheads? You almost raised, you don't even know what an overhead is, do you?
Projector?
No.
Oh.
No. Overhead, okay? Write on a clear plastic sheet.
Yes. Oh.
Put it on the piece of glass. Okay? You were really anointed if you were the one in Sunday night church that got to... And then if you were really good, you wrote it out in colors, like the colors. Red is the color of the blood that flows. And you did all seven verses in all seven colors, right? But TV projectors or TVs are a great solution. That's what we use in our church plant right there. Projectors can cost just as much. They can be moody. So if you have the ability to do TVs, it's a fantastic option. So I have to buy new projectors right now, and I hate it. Okay, I hate spending money on it. Yeah.
Is there a size where you would switch from a TV to a projector? Vice versa.
I would say that if you're going north of like 65, 72 inch TV, you're probably going to want to switch at that point.
Picked up an 85 inch TV for $700 on Black Friday.
See, then you get deals like that. It depends on your context. Like in our church, like I would not want it. This is our church plan. I would not do projectors in this. We just didn't have space for it.
Yeah.
We could fit 60 people in here, but whereas in our church right now, we're almost 75, 80 feet front to back. If I tried to do a TV, even at that size, it wouldn't work.
We have a projector that's finicky, and we're trying to decide, do we get multiple TVs?
Sure.
Like a 4x?
Yeah.
Or replace the projector? We can talk offline.
Yeah, we'll talk offline, but yeah. Some different software that you guys can use. Here we go. ProPresenter. Is anyone not use ProPresenter in their churches? Okay. On your resource sheet, I have like gets the job done, good, better, best type of thing. PowerPoint gets the job done, but it's not built for churches. ProPresenter is there. So, if you are using it and you're like, it's really expensive for me to get to my projector with buying a 100-foot HDMI, don't use HDMI. Use Cat5. And then you can buy converters that you plug HDMIs into. It's a lot cheaper, a lot easier to run a Cat5 over that. If you can learn how to terminate or like create the ends of Cat5, you will be golden because you can buy 500 yards of Cat5 for like $60. And so I always have a reel of Cat5 at my church at any given time because there's always something that I need to, like whether it's 3 feet or it's 150 feet, I need Cat5.
Literally Google the output, the pinning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think I think the crimping kit is like $14 or whatever. Okay, it's annoying if you don't like meticulous things. it's hard to get used to, but once you get the hang of it, like, it's fantastic. There was a thing up there, Mac Mini. If you aren't using a Mac, I am a Mac snob. Okay, if you've ever tried to use ProPresenter on a Windows, it is finicky. Okay. Mac Minis at Costco at any given time are $550. Same price as a decent PC, okay? Use it, it works great. We use it in our kids' church area. Anything bigger that you need or you need ideas, these are my friends. I know there's a lot of great tech companies out there. I know Greg Conklin is a great resource. I know there's other great resources. I will say these are my friends. These are the people that run Youth Convention, Thrive. Half their business is doing events like those, and they are partners with the Vikings. Like, they do great. They do great in the marketplace so that they can help churches. Half their business is events. The other half is installations. I had them come up when we started our church and say, give me basically like a tune-up. Like, give me... because they'll come in with the sound waves and things like that and say, here's what you should get, something like this, da da da. They also can order stuff. You can actually say, can I get this? And they will give you some good pricing, a lot of times cheaper than what you can get on Sweetwater or Amazon, okay, for the same thing, okay? quick 10 tips to live by in your technology as we are getting close here, okay? First one is this. Just because another church has it doesn't mean you need to have it. Okay, let's keep the "if only we had this" phrase out of our mind. Don't ask, or always ask, does this assist in leading people to Jesus? I was part of a church one time where there was some supplement budget in December, and the pastor was like, "Youth pastor, you need to spend this on like something in your church." The guy bought a keytar. Keyboard like a guitar. Exactly. Did that lead people to Jesus? No, he bought it for fun. Let's not be people who work in technology that buy stuff for fun. Let's do it to help propel people forward. Next one, don't update any software on Sunday morning. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Next one, never, 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 repeat after me, never use a wired mic at a baptismal. There is electricity that goes through that microphone. If you want to read more about that, Google Waco, Texas baptism. And it has nothing to do with the cult. There was a church that lost two people because the microphone fell off the stand and into the baptismal tank. Never, 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 never use a wired mic at a baptismal tank. Okay? Remember that technology is a ministry and ministry should be fun. Does technology bother us? Yes. Does technology frustrate us? Yes. But we should do ministry with our friends and have fun while we're doing it. Okay. Number 6, if something goes wrong or fails, it's okay. Jesus is still being worshipped and the gospel is still being preached. Sorry, live stream went down. Should have been here in person. Cut down your live streams after service. Most churches' worship don't sound good on live stream. That's my first task in the office in the week, is I take our service, I chop down to just the message, I get rid of the crappy sound and music, and it's just the word of God. We're not all River Valley where we have 4 people managing the live stream. In fact, River Valley has started doing the same thing. They quit including their live stream worship in there after Sunday service is done. They no longer have their whole service. It's just the message now. Okay. Number 8, if the microphone doesn't have anything come out of it, turn it on. Right? How many of you are like, not my fault? The button's on the bottom. Right? Okay. Number 9, remember church tech ministry is 10% skill, 10% patience, and 80% remembering where the right button is. I worked in cell phones for a long time, or for T-Mobile, and I'd have people come in like, I don't know how to do this. I'm like, it's okay. It's only easy if you know what button to push, right? How many of you are intimidated the first time you looked at a soundboard because there's too many dials and lights and stuff, and then you realize, oh, it's the same thing over and over again, and I know how to use it, it becomes a lot easier, right? Okay. Number 10, the goal is to be excellent, but create an environment to help people worship as what is needed. One final thought. I have 10 of these printed off, but if you would like a resource guide that has all kinds of stuff in here, you can scan that QR code, just goes to a PDF. In here, you've got those wonderful 10 tips on the back, but you have direct links to softwares, to things like that, that I would personally recommend. Again, I'm just the guy that's been figuring out as I go along. If you're into church stage design, there's a guy on there, there's a link there as well that teaches you how to set up LED strips, how to use all of those things. And then the last thing, I'm here for you guys. I'm here as a support. Call me, text me, that's my personal cell phone number. Let me know how I can assist you. FaceTime, I can come by whenever. I love getting out of the office, being with churches, being with people who want to share the name of Jesus. But in the essence of time, I'm going to pray us out. If you want to stay and chat after.